Okay, our next speaker is Sheila Tyson. Sheila is a Birmingham City Councilwoman and the Executive Director of Friends of the West End. That is a partner organization of the Community Health Scholars Pilot Grant sponsored by the UAB Center for the Study of Community Health. The project takes place in the West End community. Ms. Tyson has been a valuable expertise in community assessment methods and in coalition building. And she's also one of the West End's most active community members or community leaders and is a critical partner in all aspects of the project. She'll be speaking about CBPR's importance and critical role in research, as evidenced in My Sister's Keeper, a CBPR coalition to strengthen maternal mental health and family resilience in a southern urban low-income community.
Good morning. Okay, I wanted to first start off to let everyone know that Dr. Lindsay, Robin Lindsay, was not able to be here because of health issues and with her children, and so was Susie Davies, was actually sick herself, so that's why they couldn't come. Presenter disclosure, I am not related to the disclosure. Okay, I wanted to start off telling you exactly how we started off with this program. We really started off with the program in the community. We were doing, doing gardens in our neighborhood. And it's five neighborhoods in the West End community. It's about 60,000 people actually live in the community. And we was trying to actually figure out what we could plant in the gardens that people would actually eat. And we went on a door-to-door campaign, and that's when we picked up the mental health issues in our community. You know, you can live in a community, you can see things going on in the community, you really want to, you know, you don't really recognize it until it actually hits you in the face. When we went door to door, that's when we seen exactly what was going on. And that's when we called to UAB and asked Dr. Max Mike what could he really do to help us. It's one of the hospitals, the largest hospital in the state of Alabama. And we wanted to see what he could do. And he's the president of the School of Public Health at UAB. And that's when he partnered us with the Department of Health and Behavior. And that's when I met Dr. Robin Lindsay and Dr. Susie Davies. And we came up with an idea. It was just an idea. We had no funding or anything else. And we tried to figure out exactly what we could do to help the women in our community. We have a low-income community, a large population of Section 8. We are a very condensed community with apartments and a lot of children. So that's when we sat down to the table and we actually got together and put together a true partnership. Because we have had people to come into our community and do surveys, but they leave us with nothing. They don't come back once they get the surveys, and UAB is a research institute. So they promised us that they would help us, and they came through with their promise. And their program started 3 years ago, and it's still going on and existing now. So now we're trying to do it in other parts of the city. We found out through surveying the women that it was about 12% of women experience depression in any given year. You can see it in your neighborhood, but you really don't know the percentage until we went out and tried to do the surveys. We actually had an event at the library, and we was looking just for a couple of, maybe we said, she said we wanted to do about 100 surveys. We was looking maybe 50 people might show up. It was so many, I'm talking about at least 1,000 people showed up to scare. I think it scared the doctor saying to death because it scared me. And I was like, you know, what are we going to do? Well, you know, we had no room for them to sit or anything because it was so many people. And actually, we end up doing the surveys. We had to turn some of them away because we just didn't have enough material or anything in order to take care of all of them. But over the years, we have built a relationship with all the women that we had. We have also low-income women estimate doubles the depression up to 25%. And pregnant and postpartum women are generally ranging up from 5 to 25%. Low-income mothers and children, pregnant, parenting, teens report symptoms within 40 to 60%. And unfortunately, very few are treated in our community because you know it's a stigmatism in the black community that prevents us really from being treated with depression. And we are working on that in Birmingham. We are working on it because most people, when you say you're depressed, they think you're crazy, someone will come and take your children. And that's pretty bad, but it does happen. The treatment that is provided, 80% shows benefits from it. And what we did, we set up a program to actually where we could get doctors to come out and help the women, because their mental health part in our clinics actually shut down. So the people that was really needed, low income people that needed to be treated, they didn't have anywhere to go. Not even with the public health department. Then our county hospital shut down. So that really left all of them vulnerable and nowhere to go and nowhere to actually receive treatment. And with our major depression, Dr. Lindsay and Dr. Davis, they do not write prescriptions, but we had referrals. We had paperwork and we had material where we can actually refer them to doctors. And African-American and Black and Latino women's experience multiple different illnesses when they're depressed. They might end up with, diabetes, high blood pressure, obesity. It's more than just depression. That's that type of problems that they are having. Depressed mothers with infants shows difficult and seeking medical care because, like I said, it's just the problems that they have. It's just such a bad name behind it to where they actually don't want to seek help. Most people that's depressed is not understood about depression. That's when we came up and we sat down with the women after we interviewed them and we came up with a name. They didn't make up the name for us. We made it up ourselves, and we came up with, the old saying that I am my sister's keeper. That's when we came up with my sister's keeper. We came up with the name. We designed a T-shirt. We designed the material. We designed the events and everything, the programs that we wanted. We designed all of it. The partnership between UAB and My Sister's Keeper was formulated as a research method in order for to get research where we can find out exactly how we can treat depressed women in the inner city. And the Friends of West Ends was one base community nonprofit that partnered with UAB Public Health with Robin and Susie Davis. My sister's keeper, we came up with several different things with skill building and skill behavior training in the women. We started a book club. The book we just got through reading is Nickel and Dime. It's about basically people working and making a minimum wage. The women that read this book would have never read this book. It's not saying that they don't read. This isn't just the type of book that they would have read. I would have never read it. But we sat down and we had an intelligent discussion on the book, and now we're going to Congress. Now we've been writing Congress trying to figure out how we can get minimum wage raised. This is the type of programs that we're bringing into the neighborhood. Also, we brought in a program called the Black Women Roundtable, and what it does, it mentors young black girls. We have professional black women come in, doctors, lawyers, business owners, and they come into the school system and they mentor young black girls to where they can become productive black women in society. And we have a business luncheon every third Wednesday where we raise, it's actually free to the public. And you know, we have to get raise money in order to pay for the food. But we have business, one black business woman come in and talk about how to get your business started and all of that. And we have developed one team that actually started a jewelry line from this program. And her mother went through bad depression and is still experiencing it. My sister's keeper overview as of today. The programs that we have set up from the individuals that we interviewed and surveyed, we came up with we sat down with the doctors and came up with the questions, and that the medical questions that they needed to answer to find out exactly what was wrong with the young ladies, we gave them ideas and they put it in the medical term to where actually we can really keep them coming. We just didn't want them to come and do the survey and not come back. We had to formulate it in a way to where we wouldn't have problems with getting them back if we needed. But 175, those was 175 interviews, the only ones that we displayed. We did over 1,000 of them, and we could have did way more than that if we had just kept doing the surveys. The successful partnerships that we have had, we have developed over 15 programs over the last 3 years. All of them are active. They are growing. The women that's in the program, we have right now, we have touched over 10,000 women in our program. When we have events in our community, it's very hard to get people to come out. But when we have an event, if we just tell 10 people, we end up with 2,000-3,000 people. And it's like, where all these people come from? But they know about I Am My Sister's Keeper. They want to come. They know we have something not only for them as a free gift. We don't have that. We have something that will feed their mind and make them grow spiritually from the inside out. And that's what people are looking for. The best practices of this program is that if you're going to partner with the community, be a true partner. And I developed a long time ago in my mind, and if you're not at the table, you are definitely on the menu. And most communities are not at the table when these programs are set up. That's why they are not successful. That's why you have, okay, I have 5 seconds. That's why you have low turnout, because when you develop a program, you don't have actually the people that's having the problems at the table to get their feedback. So how, if you don't have a mental problem, if you're not depressed, how do you know how to treat a person that's depressed? And now, you know, I'm constantly talking about this in the city of Birmingham. We've got to have the people that's going through these problems at the table in order to find the cure or a way to treat it. When they did the data collection, they taught us how to do it. They just didn't bring people in from the university, and they taught us. We had to take the RIB training. We had to pass the test. They taught us how to do the data. They taught us how to enter it. They taught us what we needed to know. The only thing, they had degrees and we didn't. But they actually showed us everything basically on how to do it. And a lot of us, I have a degree in business. A lot of them didn't have degrees. But they was treated equal across the slate. You could not tell the difference. We trained them and everything it was a collaboration and it was just a wonderful thing. And some of the women that actually are experiencing the mental health, they are some of our biggest spokeswomen. They go out to different churches. They go to schools and they talk about this. They are not ashamed. They letting everyone know that you're not alone. That you will experience problems. But we got to get something in our churches in order, because that's where the largest gathering of people are. Now we have a program in our churches called Body and Soul. Body and Soul. So that right there, we're putting stuff back into the church. The church is going to take it back out into the community. And we meet every third Tuesday. That's one of the groups. We have Ladies Night Out once a month. That's another group. Black Women Roundtable, we meet every first Monday. It's so many programs, but they set up so many programs because we had to reach everybody. We had to have something for everybody. Like every other month, we have a group that have a fish fry. They have a fresh round, and it's called Let's Talk. Ladies, Let's Talk. All they do is talk, play music, eat fish, drink a couple of margaritas. We ain't trying to make people alcoholic. But that's what they came up with. And the meetings are supervised. We keep data on all of them. You know, I'm not able to make it to all of them. But the fish fry, I went to one of them. I didn't want to leave. They're not in there getting drunk. They're in there socializing, having a good time, and they're learning about the problems that each other are having and trying to find out solutions with a group. That's part of our coalition groups that we have. And the material that the data that we are collecting, we will be writing a bigger grant, and we were trying to make it all over the city of Birmingham. Now we have took it out of one community and put it in a district, which is District 6, which I'm the city councilor of, and it's about 80,000 people, maybe close to 100,000 people in on the western side of town, and that's what we're trying to start it at now. And thank you so very much. Mm-hmm.